Welcome to The Scaling Show. We've seen dramatic market shifts over the past few weeks, and businesses have had to answer many questions. However, amongst the uncertainty, there are a number of innovative tech companies pushing the boundaries. In this series, we talk to those founders, CEOs, and industry veterans on the front line of innovation. I'm Richard Doty, founder and host of The Scaling Show. Hey, what's up, everyone? Today on the show, we have Christom De Silva, CEO and founder of IAM Technologies. Hey, Christom, great to have you on the show. How are things going in Barcelona today?
Hey, Richard, thank you for inviting me. Well, things are getting better. People are going out much longer times and meeting friends again and family, so everything is going better.
Cool. Sounds good. Let's kick off the show by maybe you telling us a bit about yourself, a bit about your background.
Well, I graduated from software engineer like 12 years ago. I moved to Barcelona, Spain, and started working on a startup for the e-learning industry. I then moved to a medium-sized company where we were building an HR software management, and then some freelancing. The freelancing went better, and I started hiring some employees. And then just found myself with three employees and founding a software development agency. I'm also right now assistant professors here at the Universitat Autònoma de Barcelona and lead professor in a Skylab Colors Academy, which is a front-end bootcamp.
Cool. And tell me, you've obviously found some sort of passion or drive to go on to the entrepreneurship path. What made you choose that path?
Well, actually, I didn't choose it. It just came and I grabbed it. It wasn't like an option. Like I said, I found myself like doing some freelancing, needing more hands, and just realizing that every time I was getting better and more complex projects. So that felt like the right thing to do and just went into the pool.
Oh, cool. I mean, you must have, I guess, during that period of freelancing to then getting a couple of people or two or three people on board, you must have gone through some thought process or some decision process as to, okay, should I scale this up or should I really go for it? Or should I maybe continue along the freelancing world? What kind of decisions process did you decide? What made you decide to really push and go into or go for the building a company and scaling your business?
Well, actually, like 6 years later, every decision seems like wrong right now. The things maybe went like a roller coaster from the beginning, having more projects and deciding to get a couple of extra hands. And then when the things went like very complicated, you found yourself having to train, to teach, to follow every project, that the things like very, very complicated to continue doing your own job, your own projects. And then maybe you realize that if you just have less projects, but that which are paid better, or less complex, or maybe just easier projects were just for you, things were less complicated. But of course, in the future, you would be like having to work every day the same hours to do the same job. So at the end, maybe putting things on a balance, I think that scaling is the right thing to do, that hiring more people. But it's a very complex job if you want to do it very, very, very well. At the beginning, if you just hire 3 or 4 junior developers, in my case, you have to train to teach everyone every day, and it's very time consuming. You find that you only can work weekends and nights. But maybe if you do the right balance between the skills of everyone and you ensure yourself that you have someone or a couple of people with strong skills, they can help you to manage everyone. Maybe you are not needed to every decision every day.
Those are some good points. You mentioned it is complex to scale a business. I think we're all sort of aware of that. What are some of the challenges and obstacles that you've had to go through or pass over the years? And how has this fueled your success as you've moved on?
Well, in our case, in the software development process, I found that maybe the most difficult task every day is estimating the time and the cost of every project. It's very complicated. And if you are scaling and you can manage two or three or four projects at the same time because you have the people to do it, well, you have to do it better. Just try to not miss every deliver and just create a snowball that is very, very hard to put it again in place. Because when one project starts to go longer than expected, and that drives you to extend other projects, and it's just a lot of bad decisions that goes one after another, it's very, very difficult. Then the risk management to accept every decision or project is a very complex task to do. And I think that one of the most important are selecting the right projects and clients, because maybe at the start you hire some people and you feel like very responsible for them, and you feel like you have to accept every project and every client just to keep them busy. But at the end, I have realized that if you didn't accept that project that you knew it smells like really kind of bad, and you better, I don't know, you better have a couple of weeks just doing some research or everything else, better project would come up and you would be very, or at least more confident and more happy with your work. And that's a very, very tough decision to just stop and say no to clients and projects. But at the end, it also is money saving, because if you accept a project that is not adequate and you know that the client is going to be a really, really hard thing to finish the project, and you will be with a lot of problems to make the final deliver, to get paid at the final date, that's going to cost you more than if you wouldn't accept the project. You're going to end losing money, and that's the worst thing to happen.
I think you hit on an important point there, and maybe I can sum it up if you don't mind. It's a thing called reputation. And as you grow in a business, yeah, it is important to get clients and get wins and get cash in the door, but it's also important to build your reputation and get your ideal clients, I think, to what you alluded to. Would you agree with that?
Of course, yes. A happy client is a client for life, lifelong.
And you mentioned the complexities around ultimately managing the life cycle of scaling and making certain that you have the right people on board at the right time, the right capabilities at the right time. I mean, looking back over the years, is there a specific process that you would go through, not knowing what you know now, or specific learnings from the process that you went through in order to improve that part of the scaling?
Well, actually, that part is not one of the bad decisions. That it was very good decision from the beginning, because maybe by just luck, I went to this development program bootcamp presentations where the people that have just finished the program after 13 weeks were presenting all their experience and the final work, which cost them like 3 weeks of very hard work. I just went for curiosity, and I found myself like passive interviewing people that were talking 15 minutes about how they solved that problem, why they solved that way. And I just went out there like with two or three names, thinking that, oh, I may be interviewing this one and this one, because they seem like very people that really work hard, and at least their way to approach the problem is a way that I think that is the right thing to do. So I might be interviewing them. And all the people that I have hired so far are from that kind of programs. And later, I liked the program very much. So I contacted the owner of the program. We chat a lot, because I think at the beginning, I gave him a point of view from the industry, because the final goal of a program like that is to find job for everyone. And I helped them to give them the industry perception of the quality of their people. And I like it very much. So we started thinking something together, and we started part-time program for people that are currently working and wants to move for the industry. And I like it very much. And again, I found myself teaching people for 3 months and understanding their way of work. It's like a 3 batches per year with 10 people, 10, 12 people. So it was very easy for me, like at the end of the program, again, realize that maybe I should hire this one and this one, because it was like very easy for me, like after 3 months sharing with them, teaching, expecting some things from them, and really getting to know them before I hired. So it was a very, very easy, very easy. After 5 or 6 generations, I have hired 8 people from my own course, because it was like a very easy, like identify the profile that I needed every time. Maybe it wasn't the best profile of everyone, but was the right that I needed from each time.
Sounds like you came up with a great vetting process to really make certain that you de-risked the onboarding process and you got the right people so you could kick off and scale pretty quickly.
And it was just by luck, and exactly I find like I can hire the people that I want, and then if they have to learn the skills a little bit more, it's something that you can learn, but the quality of the people is something that is very hard to change.
And quickly diving into IAM Technologies, can you walk us through the journey that you've had so far? Maybe focusing on how it's evolved over the years. I know you've mentioned how it started and what have you, but how you moved from, you know, startup to growth business, and obviously having a good number of employees on board right now.
Yes, maybe it's something that at the beginning you are not so sure if you are going to end up with 12 people in your payroll, and or if you are just going with the same 2 or 3 along with you. But I think that that's a decision that you have to make earlier and just bet on that with all your effort. Because if you stayed in the middle, maybe you are committing a mistake of not putting all your efforts on the right side. So that's maybe why it can take more work and more resources than you planned. But at the beginning, it was just getting better and better projects for better clients. We started working with insurances, banks, and also startups that really had a project that for us had a lot of possibilities. We decided to all in with them. So it just started with more and more projects. And right now, like half year, maybe 1 year earlier, I decided to start to include people with different skills to start to manage all the company, because that's really an issue when you have 10 employees and you are the one that takes the bills, pay the rent, go to the supermarket to just fill the coffee and everything again. So the things can get out of control very, very fast. So I'm not very sure, because everything has happened maybe but by luck, or maybe just bootstrapping and solving each month the next challenge. But I'm sure that if you are confident from the beginning, you choose the right tools, you choose the right path, and you can start to work on the future with more confidence than if you just are bootstrapping and seeing what would happen. That maybe it's something that I would do different right now, because maybe at the beginning, for example, we started to look into platforms for project management. And maybe we look at Jira from Atlassian. It looks like, wow, this is so complex for us. But if I thought that, okay, maybe right now we are 3 and this is complex, but maybe in 1 year we're going to be 10 or 12 and this would be the right tool to use. But we started with other kind of tools that were easier and more friendly for 3 people. And then we realized that, of course, we have to migrate everything again. We have to change everything. And by that, I mean, just started with the right tools. Maybe you are paying a little bit more at the beginning, but in the long term, it's very cost effective, because you have all your infrastructure just built from the beginning and ready to accept the amount of work and the amount of people that you are counting on.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I think a lot of businesses go through it when they're growing. I think generally people focus on sales and projects in this case and get those up and running in the first few months or first few years. And then it's looking at fine-tuning the engine from an operational capability perspective, which you're alluding to. So you have, you know, at least some people that are making the coffee and some people that are obviously doing the account and all that other good stuff that a lot of others do. It sounds like you very much push into the second part of that. Is there any secret sauce that you use other than learning from others, maybe learning from your partners, or any lessons learned that you can share with our listeners as you've evolved through those two blocks of growing?
Well, in my case, I have tried, like I said, like if you plan to scale, just choose the right tool from the beginning, be prepared to what's coming, don't subestimate your tools and your efforts if your plan is to go bigger. Also select the proper clients and project. Maybe an early no means avoiding losing money. And also I have found that continuous communication with clients, it's essential to understand when things just go out of time, when you just have a bad deliver or the project is in some kind of delay. If you just don't talk to them for 2 or 3 weeks and then you come with a delay in your delivery, it's very hard to understand from their side. But if you are continuously talking with them, reporting the status of the project, maybe not active from you, because if you have the right tools to do, the things can go very smooth and automatic. But then I have found that if the project is just delayed by 2 or 3 weeks, they are of course they understand, because they have been part of the project, they have been hearing from you every week, every 3-4 days, and they understand that you are working just as hard as if you wouldn't contact them at all, and they understand that very, very well. That's maybe a very good thing to do and a very good practice. And also, from the time that I was an employee, one bad experience was having a boss that makes you work every night and every weekend. And of course, maybe there are cases when you just have to do it because you don't have any other option. But if you just make that an option to your employees, they are going to be very grateful for that. And they just are very happy with their job. Maybe they just don't notice at the beginning, but is something that is continue making a good environment, because when people start to feel very bad about their job, their work, the bad energies start to flow between everyone, and that's a very dangerous thing to have. So my very, very first rule was to don't ask anyone to work extra time. At least it was very necessary. I'm very proud to say that right now, like 6 years later, we have had to do it 2 times. So I'm very, very happy for that. I prefer to eat all the bad things by myself and just having everyone happy, because at the end, that's your main resources. And if you start losing people just because you don't think that, or you don't mind that they have a family and they just have to have their time, things can get very, very, very bad.
Some great leadership examples there. Truly inspiring, actually. For our listeners, could you walk through the problems that you help your clients solve? Just maybe a couple of examples.
Yes. Well, we maybe identify ourselves because we can do kind of advanced technology development. And we started with just tailor-made advanced software for almost anything. And then we realized that we have to be specialize in some kind of market and some kind of product if we really want to scale up, because if you don't do it, you are going to be like doing the project for the first time every time. So the first thing that we approached was an e-commerce platform for a shop that found themselves like very, very complicated management of their own shop. They were going in one platform that's called PrestaShop. And they found themselves that they couldn't update the shop. Everything was very slow. The agency that made the shop for them wasn't able to update the shop because everything is going to be broken. And they approached to us with the idea of making a new shop. We actually like it very much, the challenge, because we thought that maybe if we can focus on that and start developing our own e-commerce platform, we can end up with a very fast platform, very tailor-made for each case with a general base of the product, so we can resell it a lot for every use case. So that's one of the problems that we are right now very good solving, reusing and adding some extra features to our product every time. If our client just comes up with, okay, but I have a physical shop and I want a user interface for my employees to enter the orders and build the clients and make discounts and everything physically in the shop. Well, that's some feature that we add to our main platform, and that's very good, going very, very, very well to each new shop. It costs a lot of less, more of less, because it's very effective to just use the same base to every project. Also, your product gets more mature because you are solving books and releasing them to every project, and the things go very stronger in that sense. We are also found ourselves developing, is maybe it's like a related project, but it's maybe the people don't understand like that, but marketplaces, where the transactions are made inside the platform, is very much like an e-commerce, but with anyone being able to publish product, say in some kind of way. So marketplaces are we have done a couple of them in the last years, and right now we continue with those principal solutions, but of course trying to research every now and then to new projects. We are making some research in blockchain and also in AI to try to start with a very simple solutions for some of our clients, and of course every time trying to balance the research part with the profitable part, because you have to be effective and cost effective on all your development.
You mentioned an interesting point there around becoming a specialist and maybe niching down in a certain part of your industry. How has that helped you guys over the years?
Well, like I said at the beginning, if you don't specialize yourself, it's like a approach into a new, whole new project every time. And that's a very difficult thing to do, because you have to learn how to manage that estimation, the risk, what comes up, what sort of things can you be encountered on that new project. But if you start to make the same kind of project every time, you are very in more control of every aspect of the development. No? And right now, when a new client comes with the same need of, I want a tailor-made e-commerce, okay, we at least a lot of more from the beginning about what questions we have to make, what kind of product you are going to have, how many categories you are going to need, personalization. Also, you have to create a PayPal account, a Stripe account, and delivery platform account. We have like a very script for everything that we are going to need. So things go very, very smooth, and you are not like improvising every time. What is going to go next? I don't know if I have to ask this from the beginning or at the end. So you can draw like a workflow and just follow the script, iterating every time, because with every project you can learn some new things, and you just have a base of the roadmap of all the workflow that is needed, and you can improve it every time, so it's easier. I also think that with 3 or 4 years, it's very hard to specialize in one thing, because maybe you are grabbing a lot of different projects, because you have to be surviving, right? You have to survive, and maybe you grab every now and then different kind of projects. But like I say, that's maybe a mistake from the beginning. And if you just go for a very specialized option, things would be very, very better.
And as you move forward now, and obviously with the pandemic right in our foremind, what are some of the challenges your business is facing right now?
At the beginning, we started earlier by a week or two working from home, because some of us go to the office in public transport. So we found like, well, I prefer starting earlier with all the lockdown thing, because it would be better for us that we all don't get sick, right? So maybe to try to collaborate a little bit to stop the thing. At the beginning, we were trying different platforms, different methodologies, and things were a little clumsy in the first 2 weeks. Then we just moved to one suite of every product, and things are very, very smooth. Right now, we are used to meet every day at the same time. We just ping each other to have a little quick video call for if an issue just happens. And it's true that also maybe in the month of December and January, if you have some international clients, maybe you start to smell something like maybe some kinds delay some of their payments, things are going like kind of weird. You are not very sure. You are hearing that in China, things are very weird and bad things are happening. And now things continue as always, by luck or by whatever it is. Actually, we hire a new team member that started today. So right now, we don't feel like it's an industry that is suffering a lot. I kind of think that the tech and development industry didn't suffer a lot from the previous crisis, and maybe it's going to suffer less in this one. Maybe because it's a very an industry that can move to any sector. Like if you work in an airline right now, you can maybe find job in pharmaceutic company. So it's kind of easy to be on the right side of the industry. So right now we are happy. We are continuously growing. And maybe it's soon to really calculate if it's slower or at the same speed. I will tell you at the end of the year, but right now it's all going well.
And what opportunities can you see for your business and also for the industry as we go forward?
Well, actually, I think that if we take advantage of that capability of maybe tailor-made platforms, insert those digitalization process in companies that maybe weren't taking it so seriously right now, and maybe just by force they found that maybe they can save a lot of money if they just automate some part of their business. So like right now we are developing platform for managing international internship programs for one agency here in Barcelona that manage all the process for students. And that's some of the tools that we very like very much to do, because we change the business of the people, because we are really changing their way to work. We are making them a lot more effective and automatic. And maybe that's something that is going to continue very well in the near future. And also we, of course, continue with our e-commerce solution. It's growing very, very good. And we have started to develop a couple of spin-offs internally. One is just for helping us with the rest of the projects. It's related to image optimization for e-commerce and for any other kind of platform. But also we want to start with the training platform to try to help those people that maybe are going to find themselves without a job in a year or two, try to reconvert them and insert into the tech industry.
Some great ambitions there. I guess it leads us on to the next part of our discussion, which is around your growth plans and what you're looking at doing over the next 12 months. Although I know you've just alluded to some projects, but is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
Yes, besides this couple of spin-offs that are projects that we, maybe because when you are working with projects for other clients every year, you maybe get tired and you want to develop some product for yourself. It's just finding a good balance. But I think that working a lot with other clients, you find and you identify solutions that maybe you can standardize and just create a new software as a service that can manage that part. So that's, like I say, one side of our roadmap for the next year that I would like from the beginning. But you have to find the resources, the time, because it's a project that you have to pay for all the resources, of course. And besides of that, I think that standardize the solutions a little bit more, continue with the e-commerce and marketplaces. And also we are starting to standardize back office tool that can work for maybe, I wouldn't say like every platform, but standardize like constructing your data model. Maybe you can standardize your back office tool for your client. So maybe if you are just doing some kind of corporate website, you have a standard back office tool that you just need a couple of days to put it all together. But also if you are building a more complex platform, I wouldn't say like you have standard back office that would fit all the solutions, but maybe you can standardize some part of the process so you can build your tools a lot quicker. In the part of the platform, it's hard to do because every platform have their specific needs and the details, but just trying to standardize all the process, also trying to fit every project into one kind of workflow. Also, we identify ourselves also for being such a craft developer because we are very tailor-made and filling all the needs that our clients, but trying to make one standard process and then making some different branches for every client.
Busy year ahead then.
It wasn't funny if it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, I mean, what would be the biggest tip you can give our listeners who are either on the cusp of scaling their business right now or who are scaling their businesses right now?
Well, maybe it's a summarized what we have already said about planning things from the beginning and going all in. I know that it's right now, of course, you hear that guy that's saying that, and if you are starting to scale and you're starting with your business, you're going to think, well, now because it played good for you and now you think that you're right. But I am convinced that, of course, I would tell to myself of 3 years earlier to plan things from the beginning and just going all in, because in the midterm, if you found yourself in the middle of the situations, it's just losing resources and going worse. Then, of course, again, choosing the proper clients and projects and the continuous communication.
I love it. Going all in. That's definitely a great bit of advice.
And yeah. I found it also in other areas, because maybe you see a guy like starting a new restaurant and it just don't pull all the resources and it just don't play good, because right now you are competing with all the world at the same time. So if you don't put 110%, you are not in the top decisions that a customer can choose.
Some sage advice. Really, really great advice. And listen, mate, I mean, it's been fantastic chatting with you. How can my listeners connect with you and your business?
Well, just by email. I'm not very active in the social networks. I don't have time right now. But Christian with an M of Madrid at the end at iamtech.tech, and just in the website also, iamtech.tech.
Cool. It's been really great listening to how you've grown your business. I know from the humble beginnings of a freelancer to something that's really taken off and got a lot of demand out there right now. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. It's a sunny day in Barcelona and also here in London. Yes. Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Richard.
If you like the show, please share with one other person who you think will benefit. And follow me on LinkedIn. It would be great to connect with you.